Good morning. One of my favorite texts is the Sermon on the Mount. In this sermon, Jesus gives us a secret of how to live the good life that God intended and created for us. Jesus concludes his 3-chapter discourse with an illustration of how these principles will affect us if we integrate them into our daily walk, and what will happen if we do not make them part of our lives. First, let's talk about building in Palestine. Jesus was a carpenter. He was knowledgeable when it came to building houses. Palestine is an arid and dry country, so the ideal home site was next to a stream so that the land around it could be irrigated and there would be a water source for the family. What we sometimes forget is that even though it was hot and dry, when it did rain, flash flooding would occur with a vengeance. Gale force winds and water would surge down the canyons, called wadis, destroying everything in its path, including homes. So these people knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. They knew that unless a house was built on a solid foundation, it could and would be destroyed. Even though it took more time, energy, and effort, it was worthwhile to search for the right building site, one with a rock foundation. Then, when the storms came, a house would stand firm. Note with me now who Jesus considered a wise individual and a foolish one. A wise person is not just one who knows Jesus and his teaching, but one who knows and puts them into practice. There is a difference. In Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27, at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." The wise man is one who knows and obeys his teachings. The foolish man knows his teachings, yet he doesn't put them into practice. We're not wise and foolish based solely upon knowing biblical principles, but rather it is how we respond to these principles. Jesus is saying that knowing and not doing is foolishness. No wonder his brother James wrote, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin." The difference between wisdom and foolishness is not knowledge, but obedience. What do we do with our knowledge of Jesus and his teaching? Being knowledgeable about Jesus is not going to make a difference between whether or not our life house is going to stand or be destroyed when the storms come. Jesus is saying that our knowledge must translate into action to stand in the storms. Next, we want to notice what the storms represent in our narrative. The storm represents two things. One, the trials of eternity, and two, the trials of this life. Jesus is telling us that all of us will be called upon to face these two storms. First, the storms represents judgment and eternity. We will all be called to face a storm. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, "Man is destined to die once, and after that, the judgment." We will all have to face this day, and Jesus' sermon equips us to do just that. This sermon is about facing the judgment day and how to make sure our life house stands firm in that day. We note here that Jesus is the rock. He is the one and only sure foundation. When the gale force winds, the water, the storm of judgment come, will we be found with a life built upon the rock of Christ or on the sands of this world? He is the only one who can stand up under the storm of God's judgment. He is the only one who did or can live a sinless, perfect life. When we are united with Him, when we have been clothed with Him, then His righteousness, His perfection, His purity, His absolute sinlessness will become our rock of salvation. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Secondly, the storms will make a difference in our life today. Storms of life are going to come. This is just the way life is. It's not will we have storms, but when. Perhaps some of us are living in a storm today. It could be that we'll be called to face a storm in a few weeks, maybe tomorrow. Jesus himself said in John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." As long as we live in this world, we will have trouble. Denying this fact is just sticking our head in the sand and only compounds the trouble. What we must do is prepare for the storm. They will come. You can count on it. Thirdly, we must not forget that both the wise and foolish man both face a storm. It is a false doctrine which says, "You live for Jesus and there will be no storms." The health, wealth, and prosperity gospel is an empty promise. Those who preach such do not know their Bibles very well, and if they do, they are not telling their audiences the truth. Bible greats were called to face storms. Noah was a righteous man, yet he and his family had to face their storm. Abraham is known as the father of the faithful, the friend of God, but still faced the storms. Jacob certainly had his share of storms. Job and Joseph were upright men, but they suffered their Gethsemanes. David is known as a man after God's own heart, yet his life was filled with storms. Paul, Peter, John, James, Stephen all faced storms. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, "Everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Fourth, there is no storm-free life. There is no such place in this world where there are no storms. There are no such things as storm-free neighborhoods, storm-free families. Stop looking for such a life because it doesn't exist. It's just not available in this world. Even though Jesus doesn't guarantee us a storm-free existence, He does tell us in this sermon how to weatherize our lives to face the storms. The one who hears His word and puts them into practice will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Here it is. We must be totally preoccupied with our foundation, Jesus Christ. Speaking of Jesus, Isaiah wrote, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone, a rock, a foundation in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for such a foundation. The one who trusts in Him will never be dismayed." David said it so well in Psalm 16, verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." If Jesus is our rock of ages, if Jesus is the rock of our salvation, if we live by the principles of the Sermon on the Mount, we will not be swept away by the storms of life. You see, the only way to weather the storms of this life is for us to be totally preoccupied with Jesus as our foundation. We must know that our dating life, our marital life, our parenting life, our finances, our careers, our dress, our entertainment choices, our manner of conversation, even our thoughts and emotions must be totally preoccupied with Jesus and His teachings. Jesus says, "If you'll hear my teaching and put them into practice, you'll be like the man who, even though the gale force winds blow, even though the flood waters surge, even though the storms come, his house, his life house, stood firm because it was built on the rock." The storms of life also reveal our true foundation. Notice this. We do not see a difference between the wise man and the foolish man until the storm comes. They both look the same until the storms arrive. Then their differences are apparent. You see, the more the storms rage, the more evident it is that we need the rock. The more the waters surge, the more evident it is that we need Jesus and His teachings. The storms of life reveal the kind of foundation we are building on. The wise man and the foolish man's house may have looked incredibly similar, but when the storms came, the differences are revealed. Indeed, the foundation makes the difference, doesn't it? Then finally, we must build our life house according to the code. Question: what are we building our life house on, the rock or the sand? "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," Jesus said, "is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." I want to end our lesson by just reviewing some of the eternal building codes that Jesus gave in this sermon. Are you ready to listen? What will it take to stand in the judgment day and in the storms of this life? Here's Jesus' answer. "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn their sins. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, the real people, pure, motivated people. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the good they do. Be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I tell you, anyone who hates his brother is subject to judgment. Anyone who looks on the opposite sex in lust, evil desires, is guilty of adultery in his heart. Do not swear, but let your word be your bond. Your yes be yes, your no be no. Do not take revenge. Resist evil. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be like your Father in heaven. Give to the needy, not to be seen of others, but so your heavenly Father may reward you. Pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Pray for the kingdom. Pray for your daily bread. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for deliverance from the evil one. When you fast, let it be known to God alone. Do not attempt to lay up treasures upon this world, but in heaven. Do not judge others, because how you judge, the Father will judge you. Ask, seek, knock, and trust your heavenly Father for the answer. Be willing to travel the straight and narrow way that leads to righteousness. Not everyone who confesses his name, but obeys his commands, will be saved. Have faith. Do not worry, but trust in the care and keeping of your heavenly Father. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Live by his building code, and he will reward you with a life house sure and steadfast. May I ask you a question? What must you or I do to start or complete the building of our life house upon the rock of Jesus Christ? Do you need to become a child of God? By faith, repentance, confession of Jesus, and New Testament baptism, immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Perhaps you've started construction on this rock of ages, but have failed to put into practice some of his teachings, and you need to come back to your rock of salvation. Friends, if there's any way that we can help you, we beg you to let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.